Hey, what's up? It's the Black and Jew podcast, episode 47. 47 is the name of the episode. 47, right?
Yep, 47.
Okay, good. It's good. 47. So close to 50.
The full name of the episode is episode 47 of Dragons, Castles, and Princes. That's the full name.
That's the full. Why are we shifting gears to a D&D podcast?
No. It's just, you know. You got to have original episode titles, so I wanted to make this one of Dragons, Castles, and Princes, because it's a sequel to episode number 43 of The Large Tower and the Trebuchets, which exist inside of it. I didn't like that one as much. True. It was going to be a working title, but I had to put it out, so.
Okay. All right. So then, like, episode 52 will be, like, the Dragon's Cave... In the hole in the wall with the bush.
No, that's a horrible name for an episode. There's no way we're naming it that.
All right. Fake episode titles. Starting off strong at the Black and Jew podcast.
I have a cold.
Hey, I have a cold too.
Really? Maybe we got the first electronically electronically transmitted cold. An ETD, electronically transmitted disease.
Ew, disgusting. Very disgusting. I should stop Skyping with you.
I can email you the H1N1 virus. So what's going on in your life, Reggie? Anything exciting?
Actually, everything is very exciting. I got a new phone. A Nexus 6. All right. Beautiful Android, pure Google phone. Oh, my gosh. Love that phone.
Is it good?
Oh, it's phenomenal. It's a great phone.
I'm an iPhone guy.
You're an iPhone guy? Yeah, you're an iPhone guy. I'm an Android guy. But we make it work.
Yeah, we do. We do. It's like opposites attract, but not too opposite. You know, like if you were like a rotary phone guy and I was an iPhone guy, then it wouldn't work out.
Well, because we would never be able to call each other. Do those still work? Do rotary phones still
work? I don't think so. You know, I had a friend, she posted on Facebook. She says, this guy has a flip phone that I'm going to go on a date with. Do you think that's a deal breaker or no? And a lot of people were like, you're being a fucking bitch. Like, that's so stuck up. But I was like, you know what? That is a deal breaker. Because in this day and age, if you have a flip phone, you're doing it because you're a jackass. And you're like, you refuse to... conformed society, which is like cool, I guess, if you're like 17. But if you're an adult, like, just get a smartphone. They're not expensive.
Get a smartphone because your job requires it. Don't think you're better than everybody else. All right. Check your emails like an adult. Check your emails like an adult. Yeah. You know what? I'm also siding with your friend that is a deal breaker because you're right. Like, why do you have a flip phone? Like, unless your financial situation is that strapped, you should probably not be dating.
Even if it's that strapped, like, I'm sure you could get, like, a BlackBerry or some shit. They probably have smartphones for free on contracts, you know?
Yeah, they like, do. And, they
I don't even think they even, like, even for the cheapest Metro PCS contracts, they probably don't have flip phones. Like, you're an asshole.
How did you even get a flip phone? You know what? That's a very good question.
Yeah.
How did you get a flip phone? Yeah. Not even burner phones are flip phones anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're a drug dealer with a burner phone, you can't even get a flip phone. Like, get with the fucking times. Like, that is anti-establishment bullshit. You were too old for that shit. And I'm so with her on not dating somebody that does stupid bullshit like that.
It's not shallow. You honestly have to look into that person's life.
Yeah, that's an indicator. That's a red flag, you know?
That's a red flag. This person has a flip phone. They don't want to be connected for some reason. They don't care about anybody. You know what? That person's a hermit.
Yeah.
That person is a hermit.
A pretentious hipster hermit.
That's the worst. A PHH.
She said that he was kind of like doing it because he's... She, like, hinted at, like, yeah, I think he's just, like, doing it to be cool or whatever. And I'm like, fuck that. Like, the older you get, the less like tolerant you should be of red flags, you know? It's like, for me, you know, when I was dating, I got to the point where I was like, one red flag, and I'm just like, no, this is not happening.
What are your red flags?
Just, there's little, I don't know, like, there's always some fucking, because usually red flags are all, like, almost always a good indicator. Like, it's very rare that, like, oh, they just do this one quirky thing, and they're otherwise normal. That's very rarely the case. It's usually like, oh, they do this thing because they have a fucking problem. Like a flip phone. I talked to this girl once. I was like hitting on her and she was wearing a cape, right? But not like a superhero cape, but like a fashionista, whatever cape.
Oh, whatever the like fuck you want to like call it.
And I'm like, oh, she's into
Dracula
fashion.
Dracula would wear like yeah. The ones that like kind of go over here to the shoulders, like midway through your
kind
forearm.
Of. And I was like trying to convince myself. I'm like, oh, she works in fashion, you know? And my sister's like, she's got a cape. She's crazy. And I'm like, yeah, but no, maybe she works in fashion. And she's like, my sister's like, yeah, maybe she works in fashion. But she was crazy. Of course you're crazy if you're wearing a fucking cape. Like, you know.
You should not be wearing, anybody wearing a cape that's walking towards you, you should immediately, like, just keep on walking past them. Do not go back. Okay, if you dropped your wallet and there's a person with a cape on that side of on the street or in that direction, just stop.
Yeah.
Just immediately stop, walk away. Just cancel your credit cards. Don't even worry about your wallet. Cape is a definite red flag. Yeah. You know it's a red flag for me? And I've said this before, but this is truly a red flag.
What?
No belief in dinosaurs. All right?
Dude, functionally retarded. That that's illegal. That would be illegal to have sex
probably
with someone.
Probably in California, but maybe not
in
Florida.
Dinosaurs. If someone doesn't believe in dinosaurs, then like that's like a functionally retarded person.
I was going out on a date with this girl. It was like maybe our second date in.
Yeah.
And then we're at dinner, and I don't know how it came about, but the topic of dinosaurs came up. And I'm like, oh, so-and-so dinosaur. And then she's like, yeah, I don't think they're real. And then immediately right there, as I'm like, you know, twirling up some spaghetti in my fork, I'm like, oh, I don't think this is real. Just like in my head, this is not going anywhere. Immediately, this is going to stop. I am not going to – no – no, sorry, no. No belief in dinosaurs, definite red flag.
Yeah, that's a red flag for a million. Like, you're an idiot if you don't believe in dinosaurs. Like, for real?
Like, we're going to go to the science museum and you're just going to not think that a whole wing of it exists? You're going to tell me, like, we're going to walk? You're going to see Jurassic Park and tell me, oh, look at these monsters. They're just so amazing. Fantastical creatures. No. Oh, my gosh. Go
so
fuck
she thinks
yourself
it's
if
a,
you don't believe
it's
in dinosaurs.
A science fiction museum, pretty much.
Yeah, it's like, oh, why do they have science sci-fi in this wing of the museum? This is weird. Hey, look, sci-fi bones. Shut up. So, yeah,
so
definite red flag.
She doesn't, like, she thinks that the entire field of paleontology is just a waste of time.
It's basically bronies. They're just.
They're bronies. Bronosaurs, I guess, because they like they're bros that like dinosaurs. I don't know. I think that level of stupid has a certain arrogance to it. You know.
Well, that level of stupid requires you have to be arrogant.
You have to be
like, hold on to those ideas, like a new echelon of arrogant to hold on to like everything in the world that just tells you dinosaurs are real.
Yeah, you have
and there's
to be
a lot of it.
Arrogantly, like, you have to be so arrogant to just be like, you know, I think that I can just think. I think it takes a little degree of narcissism, too. It's like, I think that what I think is right, and that's it.
And these accepted facts that you all have, they're wrong. Don't worry, you'll come to my higher thinking very soon. Shut up.
Yeah, just like that takes a level of arrogance that you're just. It's like when you hear like a redneck that's proud of how ignorant he is. Like, I don't read books, I don't fucking know what that is.
I don't read books.
Like,
okay, you know what? That's a definite. That's another red flag. People that willingly don't read books, like you're telling me that one of the most significant forms of human communication and expression and art you just don't care about? like, you don't care about books? You don't care about books. How can you not care about books? What are you reading? Is the only thing you ever read text messages?
Whatever pops up on the Facebook feed or text messages, yeah.
That's another definite red flag. If your significant other does not read books or cannot say at least one favorite book, you need to drop that person.
I have the opposite problem with Christine. Christine has so many books that we don't even know where to put them, so they're in piles at various places around the house.
Oh, that's cool. That's like a Zooey Deschanel quirk, you know? Like, I don't know where to put all my books.
That is like a Zooey Deschanel quirk.
It's like, I have just so many books. Christine is probably Tumblr without even knowing she's Tumblr.
No, she's not Tumblr. She's not an SJW. Don't ever call her Tumblr, you fucking asshole. Yeah, well, Christine, she is that like Zooey Deschanel kind of, like, she's kind of got her quirks.
She's a Cuban Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah, she's a Cuban Zooey Deschanel. She's got her quirks. She's got her nerdy past, but she's still hot, you know? But she's also at the same time, like, very socially inclined.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how Zooey Deschanel's character in, like, The New Girl. It's like, she's so awkward. Well, she's not awkward. She's actually very personable and has very
she's
good
very
social
nice
skills.
People like her. Yeah, she's a teacher. You honestly can't be awkward and a teacher.
Yeah. That doesn't exist. Because you're standing in front of a bunch of little shitty kids all day and have to wrangle them in. Do you know what I think is the biggest group of ignorant, willfully ignorant, arrogant assholes is the anti-vax people, the anti-vaccine
people.
Oh,
man, that's been going hard like recently, right? Because like two senators or something came out and saying they were against it or they were just very ambiguous about
it. Yeah, Chris Christie was like, it's your choice if you don't want to do it. Like,
It's not.
I mean, I guess technically it is your choice. But it you're a fucking asshole. Like, you're a fucking asshole if you don't vaccinate your kids.
You should really break down why that is. Because I actually read some things about it. Well, one, I didn't read to, like, get into the proper side. I read just that way I have something to say. You know, like, if I had never known, like, the reasons why vaccination is beneficial, I'd still be like, please vaccinate.
Yeah.
Just because of a general, like, just general science knowledge lets me know that vaccination is important. But I read into it. And when you vaccinate, you contribute to herd immunity.
Yeah.
All right?
That's big buzzword you hear a lot, the herd immunity.
Yeah.
Which is a conspiracy by pharmaceutical companies.
Exactly. Here on the Black and Jew podcast, we don't support herd immunity.
Yeah.
All right?
We don't. It's
You just need good old Jesus. You just need if you accept Jesus in you, then you don't really need anything.
Yeah.
I'm on my fifth day of Jesus. I haven't eaten since Friday.
And that's why you're sick. Because you haven't accepted modern medicine into your heart.
No, the Lord is just granting me sneezing powers. That's just what it is.
What I think one of the funny things about these fucking assholes is that they're usually liberals, right? And they would make fun of a Republican for not believing in climate change, yet they are just as scientifically ignorant. And it's like, that's the kind of ignorance that's really, you're helping to break down society, you know? Like that, is just, that makes me so mad. Like, anti-vaxxers make me so fucking mad. Because you're just narcissistic pieces of shit.
Yeah, I actually have a lot of friends that are very, like, anti-vaxxers. Like, they hate people that are anti-vaxxers.
Yeah,
I scroll through my Facebook feed and there's always a brand new article, a new Onion article, or like just some new like comic someone drew about like why vaccination is important and why you should do it and why everyone who says no is wrong. And You know how this all started, right? Like the fear of vaccination. You know how it all started?
With an article about autism that was debunked.
Yes, an article about autism that was debunked, that was paid for. Like some like British journal, you know, writer. He got paid money to create this.
I didn't know. I didn't know he got paid money. I didn't hear that.
he was taking money from both sides of like of this thing. Like he said, "Oh, I'll say this. Yeah, totally. Give me that money.
No
I'll
shit.
Write this and I'll get this money." Exactly. So like it's not only debunked, but it was also fake from the get-go.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So
it's ridiculous. I think it's hilarious how like they think that like sorry, I think that's a repairman.
I saw someone get to your door.
I think it's just you.
For those listeners that don't know, I could see.
Yeah, he can see
Mike's window.
I need to get better. I need to concentrate better. Hugo's barking at somebody. Anyways, what were the fuck? Okay, so yeah, like, so he was bribed. That's hilarious. God, people are so
fucking
stupid. And it's like what a terrorist cell. It's like now people, they even though that thing was debunked, like they have their own convoluted ideas of like, I'm just being fed by the mainstream. You're just being listening to the mainstream media and what the pharmaceutical companies want you to think, you know? And it's like, no, dude, you're just, I hate that idea. Like, oh, just because the mainstream media says it, it must be false. No, it's not. You're a moron.
Yeah. No, you're a moron. We vaccination is why we made it this far, or like at least one of the major reasons why we made it this far.
Yeah.
When we made the, it was polio. Yeah. Polio was like around the first one or no, before that. Polio was the one with the milkmaids where the guy noticed, hey, these milkmaids aren't getting sick as much as everybody else. And then he realized, oh, there's a germ that like is like naturally found on cows that counteracts the polio virus.
Is that how Salk figured out the polio vaccine? It's fascinating. I had no idea.
Yeah. He saw that milkmaids or like, you know, people that worked in dairy farms were not getting polio or like not contracting it as much as people that didn't work on dairy farms. So then observing this, he's like, let me go check out what's going on with these milkmaids and the cows. Then he found like that cows have like this germ or like, you know, like this natural immunity to polio that, you know, milkmaids are getting and that's fighting off like little by little the polio vaccine.
Jesus.
So he, you know, extracts that and makes like the first vaccine, right? Like the first vaccine to polio. And then, hey, guess what? We don't use wheelchairs as much anymore. So ta-da.
And leg braces.
Like, and no one, you know what? I bet no one was like, that contributes to autism. What's in that vaccine? Everyone was like, please, my kid is like on the brink of using a wheelchair all his life. Give me that vaccine. Like, it's just, you're only scared now. Why? Like, why, out of all the things, why are you scared now? And
because people, I don't know, man, people are retarded and they want like some boogeyman, you know? And I think it's like this idea of like, it's like an anti-establishment, like the pharmaceutical companies are just doing it to make money. They're injecting things into our kids, you know? Here, I think this is great. I read a good article on Slate called My Life with Anti-Vaxxers about someone who, like, in the 80s, in the late 80s, lived with these hippies and they didn't vaccinate their kids. And she's talking about this one woman who said that her beloved family doctor didn't vaccinate his own children because most people did. He reasoned there was no cause to put his kids through the discomfort and infinitesimal risk. And I think this commenter on the Slate article sums it up really well. He says, what grotesque narcissism is at play here? These people don't mean well. They aren't kind but misguided. They are malicious, selfish parasites who insist that the rest of us shoulder the entirety of the burden of living in a civilized society so that they can reap all the benefits for themselves alone. They truly believe that they are more virtuous and deserving than the rest of us and that their virtue will save them. Fortunately, they tend to cluster, so one epidemic should wipe their genetic material off the face of this earth. Well, that's not true, unfortunately, but I think that's so true. It's just your narcissistic.
The was like good, and then he's like, let's just kill them all. Don't worry, they'll just naturally phase out.
He didn't suggest we kill
them.
He said they'll naturally die.
Yeah, they'll just naturally phase out. Yeah. They still say, yeah, it's a bigger issue than just like it's your kid being uncomfortable or you being uncomfortable.
Yeah,
it's just the greater it's the greater good situation, you know. Like, if we all did this, then we'd all be better off. And it's just so selfish and so like, you know, so as the commenter said, narcissistic and like selfish to just expect, well, if I don't do it, there'll be 10 others that do it.
Yeah.
No, your one can affect one that didn't get it yet or like or it, that is about get to get it or can't get it. Exactly. So you know, it's incredibly selfish.
I think one group of people that is at the biggest risk are children with cancer because they can't get treatment. So literally what you're saying, if you don't vaccinate your children, no hyperbole, is I don't give a fuck about kids with cancer. Because they rely on herd immunity, you know? And if they don't, if you're making you're not just making your kid vulnerable, you're making these kids with cancer. So it's like, yeah, I don't really care about kids with cancer. Fuck them, you know, whatever. That's what you're saying, essentially.
In not so many words, yes, that is exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, like there's really not, it's really not defensible. Yeah. You know, like if you approach someone who's like, so you do not care about kids with cancer? There's no way you could say yes, I do, because if you did, you'd vaccinate your children. But you don't. I should make a poster of that. Like, don't, because kids with cancer, fuck them. Don't vaccinate your children. I should make a poster that says that.
Just like that. Kids with cancer, fuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't vaccinate your kids.
Don't vaccinate your children.
And it's just social responsibility. Like, the same way that you would volunteer or, like, you know, help at a shelter or anything like that. Like, it benefits you and everyone around you if you just, you know, get a vaccination. Just get a vaccination. It doesn't even hurt, you know?
Yeah. Well, it hurts pricks, a little bit, but
it's better than, you know, like, don't be a getting prick. Measles again.
Don't be a prick. Get your kid pricked.
You should be writing copy for the vaccination.
For the vaccination movement. Yeah, man. And I think someone brought up in one of these articles an interesting point about how there's kind of this erosion of the idea of the social good. Like, people don't really do things as much for the social good, for the common good anymore. It's like a little bit more selfish.
Interesting.
You know, whereas it's like in the 1900s or the 1940s or whatever, it'd be like, help the war effort, buy war bonds. But now, like, you can't really appeal to people's, you know, sense of social responsibility as much, because then you're a communist.
that was very true. That's very true. Like, they war bonds sold the most during, like, you know, like the early wars, like in World War II, like, war bonds were selling like crazy. Yeah. People were sending packages to their soldiers. Like, they were taking care, like, it was, everybody came together. Yeah. Probably not, you know, I mean, wartime, you could probably argue that. But should we have come together for that? But we still did. That's what matters.
Yeah.
We still did. And everybody at home rallied. Like, that's like the women that were taking over the workforce at the time, they rallied together to, like, hey, you know, like, our boys are overseas, let's hold it down at home, you know, and then that contributed to, like, you know, some like a lot of stability, and, you know, also kind of propelled, like, you know, like, women being a bit more self-sustaining, like, moving forward. And yeah, like, I don't, yeah, you know what, you bring up a good point. Like, no,
are you about
no
to talk
one's
about
really
the Illuminati?
Like, no one's doing enough for the Illuminati. That's what I'm trying to say here.
Like, I don't know. That could be rose-colored glasses, you know, thinking, oh, it was better back in the day, and people, like,
oh,
cared
no,
about
it,
the common
wasn't.
Good. But I don't know, man. I will say this, though. It's funny because moving from Miami to Los Angeles, I realized that it's a lot easier to appeal to people's sense of the common good here than it is in Miami.
Really? How so?
Yeah, just like, I don't know, like, you could be like, do this thing because it benefits everyone, where it's a little bit more difficult, you know, like if you're like, there's like, I go to Mike's here, right? And they have like drink minimums. It's like, you have to, like, if you want to get on the list, you have one item minimum, you know? And it's like, well, and then everyone just understands, oh, okay, yeah, I'm supporting the venue. Like, that's great. I'll pay that. I'm happy to do it. I'm not going to complain about it because that's, I'm sure a few people complain about it, but I'm not going to complain about it. I it benefits the scene. It benefits the common good. Like, I was going to go to this one show and I RSVP'd, and there's, you know, there's been a drought in California And the guy who I RSVP'd to had emailed all the RSVPs, and he said, like, what did he say? He said, yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome that it's raining in California. I'm so happy that we're getting some rain, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to cancel the show. Which I found to be, which is kind of interesting, because it's like this thing happened that doesn't benefit you, but it's good that everyone else is, you know?
Okay. So,
but I think it's just because in Miami, it's like everyone comes from a place where institutions cannot be trusted. Like if you're Cuban, if you're from South America, like the government is almost completely non-functioning. So it's like you're not going to trust the whole, you know, like you're going to, it's more like kind of just fend for yourself, and the establishment is not there to help you. It's there to fuck you only.
Yeah. It's dog eat dog, or like, you know, you got to take care of, you got to police yourself. You got to take care of yourself. Like it's, yeah, I could, that's very true. I mean, I know my mom, like she's from Nicaragua and she doesn't trust anybody. Like she doesn't give a shit. She doesn't care about you. She's like, I mean, I think she barely even trusts me. Like,
well, she's just,
but like,
them.
I totally see where you're coming from. Like, yeah, you know, you also see that, you definitely see that here. And like, to bring the example of comedy, like, I mean, I know, like, the My Improv had absurd bringer amounts, like 10, you know? But, like, you know, even then, like, part of you has to give yourself to their reasoning, you know? You have to be like, well, okay, I understand why, because, you know, comedy is not exactly the number one thing here. And, like, to have a crowd so that way everybody else has a crowd, and to also maintain this spot, we got to get 10 people. You know, that's one way of thinking about it. Yeah. Obviously, the system was very flawed and abusive, but still, you know, like, it was a show. You know, it was still a show. Or, like, when sometimes when I used to hear this a lot when I started out, but then again, I don't think that's the case anymore. When people would complain about, like, shows that you had to pay money for, like, up front. Yeah, like, and it was always, like, a minuscule amount, like, $5.
Yeah,
$10 the most, but even then, you know, it was like, come on, if you can drive all the way up here, then you can totally like give $10.
Yeah,
so it was like,
yeah, you don't hear that as much here. Like people saying, "Oh, you got to pay for the show? Fuck that!" It's like there's a kind of an understanding, like, "Oh, there's a, they have operating costs, and you know, they're giving me something, so I'll give them something back." Like one place runs completely off of donations. And, like, I don't know if that could happen in Miami. I could be wrong, but, you know, I just think it's culturally different.
Culturally different. Yeah, no, I totally see that.
And it's different here, too, because it's, like, I think also the environment's different because, like, the people here are so many generations removed from actual hardship that, like...
Oh, okay.
That, like, they just have a different perspective on things. You know, like, yeah. Okay. If you live like living in a studio apartment and having trouble paying your bills is not actual hardship. Like possibly being killed by your government and living in constant fear of being shot and like gang violence, that's hardship, you know? So like if you're a second generation immigrant from like South America, you have a much different perspective than someone who like can't even trace back where their family's from.
Yeah, that does lend to that. Damn, how am I going to make rent? I'm helping out too many comedy clubs.
Yeah.
Then that's when your hardship starts settling
it's
in.
It's like I'm pursuing my dream. Honestly,
comfortably, too. Oh, my gosh. I hope. God, just vaccinate. That's what you should take away from all
so
this.
So is that what we're taking away from this?
Yeah, that's what you take away. Just help everybody, support your local comedy scene, and vaccinate, guys.
Yeah, I love reading the comment sections of vaccination articles because they're just such shit shows. That and anything to do with sex or race. Like, I'm like, well, you people do not like women or black people.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love these. I love those three polarizing topics: vaccinations, black people, you know, people of color, and you know, sex. Why is 2015? I wish we could stop arguing about that, but we have a long way to go. It's Black History Month. It's Black History Month.
Oh, it is. I totally forgot about that.
Don't worry, it's okay.
Yeah, I know. I like it. I'm sure this joke has been made a million times, but you guys got the shortest month.
Yeah, shortest month. I mean, the reasoning I've been told was that, like, oh, a lot of great people were born on this month, and then they'd start listing great people. And then I'd be like, well, some of those aren't black, but all right, I'll take it.
A lot
at least you're giving us 1 month.
Do people call you boy after they tell you say that to you? A lot of people, great people were born in this month. Boy.
At least you got a month. At least you got yourself a month. I need to see Selma. I haven't seen Selma, and I hear it's phenomenal, and I got to see it. But check it out at the Tower Theater. Maybe I'll check it out tonight. That's what I'll do. I'll check
what is
it out tonight. Selma.
What's that?
The movie about Martin Luther King?
Oh, yeah. Why is it called Selma? It's about Martin Luther King.
Well, it's because about, like, the march on Selma, like, specifically that point in King's campaign and stuff like that. Yeah. And it was, it's like really good. I've heard nothing but phenomenal things about it. And I can't wait to go see it. I really want to go see it.
Yeah, I haven't been up as much on the Oscar buzz. In my office, we get all these screeners. So, like, if I wanted to, I could watch, like any movie that's, like, they had the Imitation Game and all these DVD screeners that people get in advance. But I don't know. I try to watch the Imitation Game, but I'm like, fuck this. This is stupid.
I don't like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Sorry, not the Imitation Game. I try to watch The Theory of Everything.
Oh, I saw The Theory of Everything.
How was it?
Because it was playing at my job. It was good. I could see why, but it's not as good. Well, it's not like how everybody's hyping it up to be.
Yeah. I couldn't get past the first few minutes because he's like, oh, look, I'm so delightfully awkward. I can barely... My body language is I'm standing to the side of you, so even though I'm very charming and handsome, I must be awkward. I cannot be socially capable. Oh, I'm a scientist. I'm a genius. Like, fuck off. This is stupid. And I'm like, how does this chick get her hair that straight in, like, 1965? I don't believe it.
Yeah, you got a lot of opinions about, like, straightening back in the 60s.
Yeah, it's not historically accurate hair straightening. I'm not about it.
I'm not about it. I saw it. I enjoyed it. It was good for what it was. There's better movies. So.
That's a great way to say a movie was shitty. Like, it was good for what it was.
Yeah, it was
good
for what it was.
It's not that good. Like, it was passable. That's a good. That's like a nice way of saying something's passable, you know?
I saw Whiplash. Now, that's a movie right there.
What's that about? See?
Oh, it's about J.K. Simmons, all right? He plays a jazz instructor, like a jazz conductor.
Uh-huh.
At the best jazz school in America, the one in New York. And there's this kid, this young drummer who wants to be part of his band.
Yeah.
And he tries, you know, he works really hard to try and be in it.
And his name is Art Blakey.
No, his name is not Art Blakely. Blakey. Black History Month. Nice one. So he tries really hard to be in it.
Uh-huh.
But what the movie delves into is about this really complex relationship between like teacher and student. Like J.K. Simmons' character, he's all about like just pushing you. No positive reinforcement, just like balls to the wall pushing you. Like he's just on your ass, like you drum faster, drum better. He hits his students, he tosses shit in the studio. Like he is like very hard and very abusive, right? And then his student, the drummer, he starts trying to like meet that expectation, right? So then he's drumming. You see his hands bleed, like he keeps on drumming until it starts affecting his health. Like that's how bad he's drumming. And then it just get into that relationship, like teacher student, and then into the relationship that the student has to like his dad and like his craft and like what it means to pursue his craft. So if you really want to see one of those like best of 2014 movies, check out Whiplash. Very good.
So you're saying that it's Drumline.
It's not Drumline.
It sounds a lot like Drumline to me.
It is not Drumline.
It sounds like Drumline, except without the 7-Up guy.
Do you mean Nick Cannon?
No, the old 7-Up guy.
Old 7-Up guy? No, I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, you're too young. Too young to remember.
It's better than Drumline. Drumline is crap.
Why did I even see Drumline? Oh my god! No, yeah, Nick Cannon was in the movie, but his like teacher is this other guy who used to endorse 7-Up.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, he's was he in Dear White People? I think he was.
Maybe he might have been. Did you see Dear White People?
I saw that. That was amazing. I love Dear White People.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm nervous to watch it. I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I might have to check my white privilege one too many times.
You should watch Dear White People. Watch it. Do it for your black co-host on Black History Month.
I guess that's what every white person's required to watch Dear White People during Black History. Well, I'm sick, so I need to binge watch some shit. I've been binge watching Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey? I have not seen one episode of Downton
Abbey. Dude, that show's fucking dope as shit.
Downton Abbey. I'll check it out. I'll check out the white devils in their natural environment.
That's like the opposite of Dear White People.
That is the absolute opposite of Dear White People.
Dear White People, please read up on Black History instead of binge watching on Downton Abbey.
Dear White People, it's hilarious. Highly recommend it. It's really good. I just really liked. I really liked it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Downton Abbey's really great. You should watch it. It's about, do you know what it's about?
I don't know what it's about.
It's about the Earl of Grantham, all right?
Stop right there. The Earl of Grantham?
The Earl of Grantham.
Oh, yeah. Why didn't anybody tell me? All right, what's it about?
It's about, you fucking sarcastic. Dear black people, do not mock us for liking Downton Abbey, okay? And, it's about this, it's just about the goings on of their house. Like, it starts, the first scene is the Titanic sunk, and their cousins, the Earl of Grantham, his next in line to inherit, because he only has daughters, was on the ship, and he died. So it had to go to this guy, Matthew Crawley, who's a lawyer in, like, I forget, some other place in England. And it's just about like Matthew Crawley integrating into this British society when he's like part of the middle class, which was just emerging towards the end of the Victorian era and the beginning of the 20th century. And it's like you see them get a telephone and shit, and like you see all these changes that happen, and how like throughout the seasons you see this idea of aristocracy looking more and more ridiculous and antiquated.
Whoa.
And then it's like, you know, the people downstairs, the servants, the shit that goes on with them. Super interesting.
Okay. All right.
Watch it, Reggie.
I'll watch it. I'll watch it. Is it on Netflix?
I don't know. I don't know. But you should fucking watch it. I don't know how you can acquire it, but you should watch it.
I know how to use the internet. I can get Downton Abbey real easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know how to use the internet. Here, I thought I was getting better, but I'm fading. I'm like still I haven't gotten sick in a while. It's been a long time.
Same here. I hate being sick. It sucks.
It's nice though, because usually if I'm sick for years, it's been if I'm sick, I might have to go to the hospital, and now it's like, oh, I'm just sick. I'll get over it like a normal human. it used to be that if I had a fever, I had like my immune system, like I had to go to the hospital, and it's like you might, hey, we gotta give you antibiotics, you're gonna die. But now it's just like, okay, Like last time I got sick, I had to go to the ER for like 12 hours.
Ugh.
It wasn't too bad. I mean, I'm like, hey, I don't have to spend the night here. Thank fucking God. Awesome. It was like a win for me.
I hate getting sick because I take sick to the extreme. Like uh-huh. for some reason, like sickness hits me really hard, like a truck, and I just can't stand it. Especially the morning when you're sick, when you wake up after like, I guess the germs had time to play or something. I hate that feeling. And I wake up and it takes like an hour or two to finally get back to like, you know, I'm stable. And
have you been drinking a lot of fluids?
I'm just a real big bitch when I get sick, too.
You're a big bitch.
I'm just a real big bitch. What do you mean? Like, I just take it really personal. Like, sometimes I'm like, why am I sick? Like, I'm a real big bitch when I'm sick. Like, what did I do? What did I do? I had orange juice, like, every day last week. What did I do? You know, I just take it. Like, it's like someone's against me.
It's like when people get cancer and they blame themselves. Like, what did I do in my life? Except for you, it's the flu.
Yeah, for me, it's the flu. I hate being sick. Being sick scares me. Like, sickness, anything to your health scares me. Like, I can't even stub my toe without, like, me thinking, okay, will I make it past this ordeal? Because if you get your health, if something fucks up your health, that's it. You're fucked. Like, you probably can't go to work. That affects your whole life. So being sick scares me. Also, I'm kind of like I got these slight hypochondriac tendencies. Like sometimes I'll have moments where like I freak out because I haven't had like an STD test. Is that like, do I have shit? But in fact, I don't have anything. I don't. This actually happened to me like a couple years. Well, I remember one very prominent moment. It happened to me a couple years back. When I went to do a mic at Speak on AIDS Awareness Night, there was a woman there with AIDS, she had AIDS,
with
right?
The actual AIDS, not the knockoff brand.
No, not SAIDS. You know, so she had it, and she was talking about it, and you know what? Very very positive, like evening, very good. You know, they handed out pamphlets, everybody was informed, and they got a very powerful speaker. Uh-huh. So powerful, in fact, that I almost fainted. So powerful, in fact, that the very next day, I made an appointment as early as possible, which was the next day after that, and then I had a test. And then I had to wait for the results of the test, and that was, oh my gosh, that was horrendous.
Waiting for the results is terrifying. Even if you know, like, there's no way that it's going to come out, like, it's just, waiting for an STD test is just the worst thing ever.
Yes, exactly. It's the worst thing ever. I'm a lot better about it now. Now I'm, you know, now I know how to calm myself down. Like, no, it's not real. You're just making it up. It's all in your head.
I used to get one every 6 months, but I don't really have to do that anymore. But yeah, that's it. But it's funny because like you have no reason for anxiety, you know, but it just gives you anxiety.
Yeah, it just does. Because that'll fuck up your whole life.
It's one of those life affecting things. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, people say that if they got HIV, they'd kill themselves. A lot of people say that. But it's like, you could, nowadays it's manageable, you know?
Yeah, it's not the 80s, so. Now you can, I mean, if Magic Johnson can do it, you can do it too.
It's not the 80s. Yeah, Magic Johnson's got a few bucks to invest in his anti-HIV.
A chamber where he...
It's crazy how prevalent it is in the. I heard some gay comic talking about HIV, and he was hilarious. But he had these really good, hilarious things to say about it. But he's like, yeah, like I've been on like 3 dates, and they've all been HIV positive.
Amy Schumer has a great skit about that, actually.
Yeah,
on her show where she's like she's like, this guy is like, oh. Amy, I have AIDS. And then Amy, she proceeds to be like very awkward about it. And like, she's like, oh, AIDS, AIDS, like the AIDS. And then he's like, yes, the AIDS. And then she's like, that's fine. That's okay. You know what? Whatever. I can do that. Can you do that? Are you fine? You know, and he starts going through that. And then the punchline is that, like, when the waiter comes to, like, hand them, like, the menus, they're like, oh, would you like dessert? We have, like, you know, like, so-and-so thing. And then she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't have that. I have a gluten allergy. And then the guy with AIDS is like, what? A gluten allergy? I'm a foodie, and I can't date anyone with a gluten allergy. Those are fake. And then he just walks away.
They are fake.
Celiac disease? Yeah, it is
totally fake.
All
those celiac people are fucking faking it.
I think the whole gluten thing,
like, celiac disease is totally a thing. Gluten sensitivity, non-celiac gluten sensitivity is a thing. But it's like, if you're doing it for health reasons, what the fuck? Like, there's no health reason to not eat gluten.
It does not benefit you at all. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, like, it's okay to eat gluten. You know what it is? It's like BPA. You remember BPA in plastic?
Yeah.
You grew up with BPA in your plastic, right?
Well, I got cancer, so I don't know.
All right.
I'm not a good case study for that.
All right. Better example. I grew up with BPA in my plastic, and I'm totally fine. All right? I grew up with BPA in my plastic. There's nothing to worry about. This is like, gluten will not hurt you. BPA will not hurt you.
What's the deal with the BPA thing? Like, I don't even know. I don't even know.
Apparently, it's toxic. Look, the thing about BPA is that you can't keep things in BPA for very long. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you had a sandwich in your BPA, like, Tupperware. Uh-huh. And you kept it in there for, let's just say, 10 years, then please don't eat that sandwich. It's going to be toxic at that point and rotten. But, you know, it's honestly, like, it's one of those things where, like, it doesn't, come on, it's, come on, just chill. It's not that harmful. All
right. So, yeah, I'm on the Mayo Clinic website, and it says that it's a polycarbonate, it's like an industrial chemical. Some research has shown that BPA can seep into food or beverage from containers that are made with BPA. Exposure to BPA is a concern because possible health effects of BPA on the brain, behavior, and prostate gland of fetuses, infants, and children. However, the FDA has said that BPA is safe and very low levels occur in some foods. Okay. That's cool, I guess.
Yeah.
Does it give you cancer or whatever? It doesn't give you cancer. Like, that's a thing. I'm just like, if it doesn't give you cancer, oh, it's toxic to your brain, whatever. I get stupid. I don't care. But cancer's a pain in the ass. You don't want to get cancer, so that's the thing. That's the thing there. Oh, my God. I can't wait to take a nap after this podcast. I totally thought I was over my cold, but, like, I'm like, this is so taxing to be talking to you. It's usually taxing to be talking to you.
There's no field trip here.
So I was going to tell you, you asked me how my show at the comedy store went.
Yeah.
In the belly room.
How'd that go?
It went very well, actually. It was great after all the fucking shit that I have slogged through. It felt so good to have a good show, which was very nice. Like, there was a real audience. There was like 9 people there, 4 of which came with me. But they were real humans that have not heard my material yet and were not comedians. And I'm like, oh, wait, I'm not horrible at this. This feels so good.
Sorry, there was only 9 people in the crowd? That's good. That's good.
There was 9 people, but the 9 humans, 9 civilians. 9 civilians that do not know the structure of jokes and do not know who I am and have not heard my material. So that is...
And you provided 4 of those. So you're already the savior of that mic.
Yeah, four of those people, though... they had not heard my material, though. It was my girlfriend's brother's first time hearing me, and he liked it, which is, her whole family likes my comedy, which is nice, because I feel like if I bomb in front of them, the her dad will be like, I don't think he's not funny enough to pay the bills. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not. You're not pay the bills, honey. Find a job, son. No, I get nervous about that too. It's like that Seinfeld episode where this woman's mentor, the woman that was dating Jerry, Jerry's colleague, well, not colleague, but like the shitty comic was dating the woman's mentor.
Yeah.
And then, like, she sees the shitty comic do stand-up, and then she begins to question her mentor's decisions. Like, should she really be mentoring me? This guy sucks. And then I actually fear that a lot. What? Like me, like, sucking in front of, like Haley's parents or, you know, her friends, and then, like, just bomb.
They're like, he's not gonna pay your bills. He's not gonna pay my girl's bills with fucking hacking shit like that. No, but it was good, man. It felt so good just because, like, it's been so shitty. Like, just comedy, doing comedy here, doing the open mics is so shitty. Like, cherish every fucking show you do in Miami. Just hug it. Just hug every show and kiss it and say, I love you so much. Like, think about the worst night you've done at Artistic Vibes, right?
None. They've all been written.
Think about the worst one. Like, think about when there was, like, only... Like, have you ever done a night in Artistic Vibes where there's, like, five people in the audience?
Yeah. Like, early on before the, you know, the New Times article. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a really good show. A really good mic here.
Shit.
So think about your worst show that you did there is a good show here.
Damn.
Because, like, you get... Like, it's... It's hard, like, you do jokes that you're like, oh, these are pretty good, and you, like, you'll get a chuckle, right? And, like, a chuckle when you're doing it in front of five comics is, like, a really good laugh in front of crowds. And you tell yourself that, but then, like, really getting very little response so many times in a row is very disheartening, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So I felt good to do, like, that fucking show after all the shit that I've waded through, so...
Like a good, like, real people laugh show.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And who was on there with you?
Some, I don't know the names. I think some people were like Comedy Store regulars that were just popping in to do the show. I don't remember the names of the people, to be honest, but there were some people that were like newer, some people that were more experienced. I forget the guy who went first. He was spectacular. And the hosts are awesome. Their names are, I don't remember their last names, but Crystal Suna and Jody Miller, I think. Jody Miller was on America's Got Talent. And she was, the thing is, the host, the producers of the show, because they trade off hostings, they're all really good. So regardless of who's on the lineup, it's going to be a good show because they're all really funny. Like, Jody's a really experienced, like, she's been doing it for, like, I think 17 years or something like that. But to see a veteran like that is always good. But
yeah.
It was cool, though, because, you know, Bill Burr has done this show. Sarah Silverman has done it before. And, like, it's because, you know, it's at the Comedy Store. So, like, people will just pop in. Like, after I did my show, I walked down the stairs and got to see Al Madrigal doing the original room.
What? Like, right Al after. Madrigal?
Yeah. And he was just, you know, he was there doing his thing. It was pretty cool. So I'm like, yeah, we're technically in the same club doing sets.
technically in the same club, but, you know, he's Zeus shooting lightning bolts, and you're just like the little squirt gun. But yeah, hey, exactly. Same club.
It's technically the same club. Hey, I technically did the same show that Bill Burr's done before. Hey, look at that. Even though it's, he probably didn't have to bring three people, but whatever. Let's just not talk about that. Yeah, but it was cool. And one of the friends of the host told me that I was in his top five that he's seen out of all the shows that he's been to. And that made me feel so good just because it's like, God, dude, just like the shit, you know, just like all like the shows where I get nothing, barely even chuckles, you know, like the hours I've waited to do 3 minutes and to have someone say that, especially at a show that's had so many great comedians come through. I was just like, oh, that felt great. Now back
into
the...
And you had to audition for that show, right?
No, you didn't. You know, like, you just... I knew someone who knew the host, and she just said, hey, email me, and I'll give you the rundown and confirm you for it. So
nice.
Yeah, one of the hosts, she does comedy lessons, and she has some of her students come by and do it too. So one guy had done it. He'd done stand up, I think it was his third time. He was really good. But he had yet to do, I think, like a open mic. So That's why he was so optimistic, I think.
Well, that's fantastic. Sorry, wait. Okay, yeah. That's fantastic. You've been dragged through the mud. You've been waiting long hours, and what do you get at the end of it? A legitimate 9-person show. That's good.
Yep.
Those are the rewards you're actually working towards when it comes to comedy. Like that's where it's at. For someone, it's so good when you hear someone like say, "Hey, you were like really funny," or like you were in my top five. Yeah. You know what's really, really good? When someone recognizes you on the street and you're just an open micer.
I don't know if that's ever happened. Well, actually, I think that has happened to me before.
Like, I've had like maybe twice in my life where someone has like, "Hey, wait a minute. Didn't you do a show here and here?" And I'm like, yeah, I did. And then they're like, "You were really funny." And I'm like, "Oh, thank you." And then, you know, I'm like, someone recognized me.
Happens to me all the time. They're like, "Yo, are you the guy that did that bringer show?" "Yes, I am." "Oh, I love you."
"Have my daughter."
"Have my daughter. It's a virgin sacrifice."
"Do good comedy some more. Have my daughter." Louis has so many virgin sacrifices.
Yeah, it felt nice. Just cherish the shows that you have in Miami, because every show that I do in Miami would be just fucking fantastic.
You sound like you're like a GI that came back from the war. Just cherish every moment of
cherish peace. Every moment where you don't have PTSD. Every time I see a microphone now, my heart races and I sweat. I'm like,
"No, bad. You don't need to bad. Do it any. You don't need to do it anymore, baby. You're past that life."
No, but it was crazy though. Like it really showed me how far I've come from doing all these like really difficult shows. Because once I went up in front of like a crowd, it was so much easier. I was like, "God, I feel so comfortable right now. This is ridiculous."
Yeah, exactly. That's how comedy teaches you. Gives you the shit, and then you should be able to do the nice thing really well.
Yeah.
If you know how to shoot a bullseye when they're shooting at you, then when you're calm, you should be able to like, boom.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely feel that, because it's cool though, because it's like, you know, you think that you're not really making any progress, and then you go and you do something like that, and you're like, "Oh shit!" Or like it's like, you know, like working at a sport or something, and you're like, "I'm not getting," or you're lifting weights, and you're like, "I'm not getting that much stronger." And then you like look at your old book, and you're like, "Wow, I used to only lift that much, and I can lift this much." Yeah, doing those rooms is like definitely like lifting with weights, but it's like lifting with weights that are way, way too heavy and that you can't even do run one rep with, and it falls on your chest and cracks your rib.
There's no way to quantify how good you are at comedy. Like, yeah. "Oh man, I did this many callbacks last set than I did the other set." You know, there's no way to like, there's no measure. There's no comedy dust that you shake off every morning and then you just scoop it up like, "Oh, that's a lot of comedy dust."
It's like it's quantifiable to an extent, but it's like an electron cloud, you know? It's like we know that this person's comedy is in this general area, but we don't know exactly where it is. Like you see certain comics and you're like, "This person's obviously much better than me." And then you see some and you're like, "This person's obviously homeless and insane. So I would say they're not as good at me as comedy."
But
you know, it's like in the general vicinity. But then you get to a point where it's just like, you know, there's people, you're just in the same kind of sphere. But yeah, I thought I understood the term comedy grind, but I obviously did not until I came out here. And you're like, "Oh, that's what a grind is. Okay."
Well, you're a much better comic for it now. You need to go train up in the mountains. Let the waterfall hit you while you meditated under it, and bam, look at you.
Let the waterfall hit me. Exactly, like some Bruce Lee shit. That's what I'm doing up here.
All right. You want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I think it's about that time to wrap it up. I'm watching the little clock tick away. I'm like, when is it an hour yet? I really want to just drink some apple juice and take a nap so bad. Yeah, there it is. We hit it. That's an hour. It's going to be not quite an hour on your iPods because we had to do some technical stuff before the show that we edit out. Maybe we'll put it in the behind the scenes one day. But yeah, I think we're going to wrap it up. Follow me on Twitter, Mike Marianoff, and Ratchet_Reggie for Reggie. Follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, Black and Jew Pod, and email us. And, you know, if you're not my mom, that'd be cool, you know? I know she takes, she steals all the thunder, but yeah.
Don't be afraid. Miss Marianoff doesn't, she doesn't
She doesn't have monopoly on that, so, so yeah. Until next time, guys.
See ya.